Everybody, welcome to Nightlight. Welcome, light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all of those seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Anne Rose tonight, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around this nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. The show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with me your light. I'll share mine with you. And with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together, as we do every week, generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. Ton of information there, and I won't even go into all of the stuff that's there. Anne's website is unitedmetaphysicalinstitute.com. And she also has a show on Blog Talk, which is Illumination. Most of you already know that because she's been around here for quite a while and is an amazing lady. There's also information on my website about the other shows I do, and of which I'm absolutely so thrilled to be a part of. It's unbelievable. I do on the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of the month, and most times in between, if I can get away, Lizzie Starr's Almost Heaven with Adele, and it is an amazingly wonderful, spiritually oriented show that focuses on spiritual information and insight philosophy, and it goes, well, you just never know where it's going to go with Lizzie and Bear and all of her wonderful guests that she has. It's a wonderful show. It's on Blog Talk from 2 to 4 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I certainly go if I have a chance, and I highly encourage everybody out there to do the same thing. It's a wonderfully magical space to be in. It's always nice to be surrounded by other light-minded people, to have a camaraderie with light-minded, you know, others that have the same philosophy, that you're not having to explain anything to anybody. You're just able to sit and talk. It's just such an amazingly wonderful, wonderful place to be. And, you know, that's what we hope we have here as well. I have an amazing schedule actually lined up. We have Dr. Anne Frances Rose with us tonight, and she's also known as Illumination to most of you in the chat room. And she's a very gifted and talented lady, and she's a psychic, and she's an intuitive, and she's clairvoyant, and she's blessed with just about everything short of levitation. And she may even do that, but it's not on her bio. I've had the pleasure of working with her on Lizzie's show, and I find her she's one of those magically wonderful people who has a brain as well as everything else. And you know, when you run across people like this, you just feel like, oh my God, here's somebody I could talk to forever and ever and ever. And the wisdom that she's gathered over the years, her insight, her her amazingly gentle way of you know, sharing messages with people is profound. And it's, and she's, yeah, chat room has just said she's pretty too. And she is, she's very pretty. Those of you can scroll up and see the pretty pictures of her that are on the show page. So anyhow, she's with me tonight. And Nick Fox is going to be with me on the last Friday of the, on last Wednesday of the month. James is going to be back, and he's going to be doing, I think, the second or third Wednesday of the month. Rachel is going to be with us next week. We have a lot of really talented and wonderful people that are coming on the show to play with me, and Mary Peeler, of course. And, James is just probably the most profound person ever. And so it's wonderful that the show is attracting other people. Actually, also, next week on Thursday after the show, I'm going to do a Nightlight Matrix with an incredible man that somebody out there steered me towards. His name is Douglas DeLong, and yes, he is a distant relative. We discovered that when we compared notes the other day. He runs the DeLong Ancient Mystery School up in Canada, and he's going to be doing a really cool interview show with me, and If we don't run out of things to talk, we're going to make it kind of a regular thing once a month at least, so he can share some of his wonderful material with you too. So I'm going to bring Anne on because I'm just chomping at the bit to talk to her. Hi, Anne. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, honey. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing very well.
Hey, you sound really good. You sound like, you know, like rejuvenated, alive, raring to go.
Caffeine will do that to you. So will spiritual energy. I'm not going to let caffeine take all of the credit for it. But, anytime you open yourself up to spiritual energy, it's a charge. It's like mainlining caffeine. It's such spiritual energy just absolutely brightens your day and lightens your spirit, and the more fun you have with it, I think the more deeply the energy goes, so that you're able to draw on such magical stuff that's inside of you, and it always blows my socks off. Some of the things that come out of my mouth when I take my ego out of the mix.
Isn't that the truth?
Now, I think for those who don't know you, and it's a very few, I'm sure. When did you come into this field? When did you start doing this work? When did you start using the craft?
I probably started professionally, I want to say in 1997, like really professionally,
mm-hmm.
Where I was actually taking money for it and really building my little empire and stuff. And, you know, writing books and things like that. But before that, I had been doing it for, God, probably since I was a teenager. And, God, I'm trying to think of all the different times. It's like when you think you've gotten a time, you're like, no, that was earlier than that, you know?
Well, you know, I'm wondering if you like most of the other people that I've talked to that are in the field and have been for a long time, that there is, and I don't want it to sound really, really religious type stuff, but didn't at some point in time you realize there was a calling there? There was something that was urging you in this direction, and it wasn't a profound, you've got to do this fast, but it was sort of like a very gentle pushing that kind of kept steering you towards the spiritual field no matter what you did.
Well, I was a juvenile delinquent, not by choice.
Mm-hmm.
just because of my home life. So I had went, because of where I was placed, I was a ward of the state at a very young age. So where I was placed at, you know, it was a religious orphanage. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I became was an altar girl, and I went to a Catholic school. Now, anybody who knows me, you know, I
know <I'm sorry. laughs>
that, you know, God is like, you know, bar the doors. I have very strong faith, and you know, I'm a believer in God, believer in Jesus, but religion just has no place in my life. And
I sometimes think the Catholic Church has been the best mode of getting people converted to spirituality out there.
true. It's that, you know, I think anybody who lacks structure and is given religion gets over it quickly. You know?
Yeah.
That stand, sit, kneel. And I can still recite the whole mass to you, mm-hmm. verbatim. But I question so much of the Bible, and it was like a calling. You know, there was so much that I questioned that, you know, I'm one of those people. I was like, what? Why? But
yeah.
Those were my two favorite words. And one of my favorite teachers was a nun. And it wasn't because of religion. I mean, she was my religious teacher, but she was also my biology teacher. And I loved biology. And when she taught biology, she was amazing. But when she taught religion, she mm-hmm. was no nun. She was the devil. <You know? laughs> But, you know, I think that I through that awakened me to a lot of seeing beyond what religion really stood for. And not just, you know, Christianity or anything like that, but all religion. You know, that how man-made it was. And
yeah.
that, you know, people really, everything that we were trying to embody, you know, in a funny sort of way, we weren't embodying. You know, we were looking outside of ourselves. We were looking, you know, to the Bible. We were looking to things that we couldn't see to make happen, instead of embodying, you know, the things that we believed in. And, you know, like, for instance, waiting for the second coming, when we are the second coming. You know,
right.
We are the ones that are going to make things happen. And when we believe that we are the ones that can change this reality, you know, it's going to happen. And until then, it won't. And, you know, we can talk about that subject for hours. But,
oh, geez,
you know, that was just the beginning of it. And I kind of just was, that kind of started me on a roll. And my love of science. And my need to have things explained, to figure things out, not only to believe in something, but I need things to be explained as well. It's hard to understand. It's like I think I've said it a few times. I'm a walking, talking contradiction. You know, I really am very scientific, and I'm very spiritual. And how I meld the two, I don't know. You know, I'm very left and right brain at the same time. And I think it's the Gemini in me. But It's a very interesting thing. I sit, I have a pad of paper with me at all times, and I'm constantly doodling on that paper. So what's, when my mind is sitting having a conversation, my hand or whatever is coming out of the other side of my brain is writing down my paper. You know, so I'm constantly, you know, doing something else as well. But I think that we have the potential to do so much more, and we don't give ourselves enough credit. We do the bare minimum and kind of just exist because we can. You know, if we could just vegetate, then we will. And it's kind of sad.
I kind of think that first of all, for some reason, the real spiritual journey, you know, starts later in life. Well, there are definitely some very younger, very gifted mediums and psychics, and you know, I don't really use the term psychic when I'm really explaining to people what I do. I say psychic so they understand I do readings and stuff. But basically, my husband coined a term. He called me a spiritual empath. And I love that term. I just love it. Of course, then you have to explain it to people, and you end up saying psychic. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that this field draws people. I think that there is an awakening that is taking place on the earth plane. I think that I'm seeing people becoming more and more and more not only open to but curious about the spiritual aspects that are in life, and people like you, like Lizzie, like Bear, like so many other people out there have been very comfortable with this aspect of life as we know it. And so, you know, to be, you are not only a channel for spirit, but you're a channel for information. And it's sometimes it blows me away because it's so profound. And so often you look around and you know, at least as far as I'm concerned about me, it's like, well, they couldn't have gotten a more common person to give gifts like this to, so there must be something really afoot. And it's, you know, did you check before you did this? Because I screw up an awful lot. And I look back at the prophets in the Bible, and they were probably in very much the same places as we are. And I'm not saying we're prophets, but I am saying that they performed and they did service to spirit that was so above and beyond what they even understood they were doing at the time themselves. They were following the teachings of a man they respected and loved, and yet there was so much more to it than that. And they didn't really see the depth and the import and the expansive ripples that was going to cause. And if you took any of them and sat them down and said, now, you have to know that 2,000 years from now, people are going to read about what you have done and what you have said. And I think they would have looked at you and said, you're a freaking idiot. and some of them may have said, that's going to be quite something because I can't read or write. So, you know, it really is, you never know. You never know who's the prophet. You never know who has, you know, the real magic. And 1,000 years from now, maybe something that you've written or that Bear has written or that, you know, that Lizzie has written or that Nick has written, quite possibly something like that is going to be something that people look at and say, that's a reminder of our foundations. And it puts, I think, in many ways, a greater sense of duty to spirit on all of us to know that with today's technology, our words can be around in 2,000 years and will be. They'll be in e-books. They'll be out there. They'll be out there, and it's profound. And when we put something up on a blog or when we put something up on a website, to know that not only generations here now can read it, but that stuff's going to float forever. And, you know, maybe if the planet implodes, a spaceship floating by in a million years will be able to pick up the signals of our websites and take it to the home planet and say, well, we need a Rosetta Stone to decipher this, but it's going to explain to us a lot about a planet that no longer is.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, we're leaving not only a legacy to future generations, but maybe to future species that are floating by at some point in time. So I think that, you know, there's a lot going on. I think we begin to realize that everything we say and everything we do has greater impact and implication than once we thought. It's a
you
cool
know,
thing.
It's you know, everything is everything. I've always believed this from when I was a child to, you know, right now here, to probably when I pass from this to the next plane, and hopefully I'm not reborn again, because I'm not coming back. I'm not doing it. I'm tired.
I've
opting
heard that
out.
Before. Okay.
I said that too. You know, I came back for the pizza, but you know, the pizza's kind of stinky these days, so I don't know. But you know, I've looked at some of the stuff that I've put out there, and you don't really have that impact of your words until you kind of are like doing stuff. And like I was revamping my website, and I was trying to think of a new name for the website, and I decided on Illuminations Insights.
Uh-huh.
And you know, which perfectly comes to the master number of 11. And so I like that. And I said, oh, that's, you know, perfect number. Really enjoy that. And I was thinking, well, let me check and see where's that on the internet. So I look and I see that it's on Blogspot. And I look and it's my Blogspot that I had created years ago. And what's even funnier was I made this YouTube video that had these incredible pictures that when Linda, Boat Mom, and I drove across Texas, across Colorado, you know, I took pictures through our whole journey and put it on this video and put music in the background and stuff. And so I found it and I was like, oh my God, you know, I was just totally blown away. And so I sent it to her after I found it. I sent it to her and I said, you know, look at this video. And she was like, wow, it's really good. The pictures are really good. Where'd you get this from? And I was like, this is our trip. And she was like, no way. I said, yeah, it is. And then she's looking and she was like, these were the pictures you were taking while you were driving? She said, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, it was too funny. But it's, you know, it was confirmation that I was taking the right name from my website by doing the, you know, right, by finding the blog spot and also finding the video. But I think it's funny that, you know, you're saying that, you know, no matter what you put out there, it's always going to come back and you're going to find it. And I was just really blown away by how beautiful these things were. And I've forgotten about that. And I've forgotten how much I enjoyed that trip. And
oh, yeah.
I remember that was like the first time I had met Linda. I just jumped on a plane and flew to Texas and stayed with her and drove across Texas and Colorado to go get her daughter out of college and bring her back home to Texas because she was home from school. And it was just really cool. And she was like, you know, you can get along with someone if you can spend that much time in a car and not fight.
Oh, absolutely. I know the very first, my first the first time I met my husband, Patrick, the first date we ever went on, I flew to San Francisco. He picked me up in his van. It was all packed with everything he owned and his three cats, and our first date was driving 3,000 miles across country for 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I say it that way, it really sounds crazy, but it didn't feel crazy at the time.
You know, when you just kind of just do it, it's like, wow.
Yeah, no, it was really, everybody thought I was crazy, and if anybody said to me that they were going to do that, you know, you've been talking to this man on the phone for 7 months, but you've never met him, it does sound strange, and all of my friends were really worried that, you know, he was an ex-murderer or something, but happily, it was a great trip, and you know what amazed me, you know how cats really don't like to ride in the car? Mm-hmm. His three cats, he had built a cage for them in the back of the van with all of his stuff, and they had a nice large cage and a litter box and water and food, and they never yelled once.
Wow.
They were taken out at night and into a motel room and then back in the car the next day, and they never, never meowed or howled or anything. So, you know, it was quite profound. So,
you know, somebody put in the chat room, now that's love, if you can be in a car for 6 days. That's absolutely true.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely
true. And it kind of, you know, it was, we knew there was something special there, but 6 days in the car sure did prove it. to another side, to another line, we have a little tradition here on Nightlight, and it's you know, the first time any new, now I know you're not new, but new to the show, any time we get a new medium empath, whomever, Jeannie gets the first reading because, yes, it's her only perk. Trust me. it is the only perk this poor woman gets. And this month she's getting the perk at least three times. So, you know, this is her month to shine. So, you know, when she knew you were coming on, she said, do I get to be the guinea pig? Do I go under the truck first? And I said, or bus first. and I said to her, yes, ma'am, you do. And so I'm going to bring her on. Hi, Jeannie, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, ladies.
Hi, honey, how are you?
Okay. Have at it, girls. Have at it. I'm staying out because I've already read Jeannie.
you've read me once or twice, I do believe, Barbara.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Why don't you just tell me what Spirit has to say to me?
What Spirit has to say to you?
Yeah. And no laughing over there on the other side.
Be careful what you ask for, Jeannie.
Right, you know, the first thing that I hear is, hey, hey, you get off of my cloud.
Doesn't surprise me in the least. I have a list.
All right, let's see what Spirit has for you. You have a gift, and this gift involves counseling people.
Okay.
And it's a gift that sometimes isn't asked for, that you kind of just volunteer for people and give them that counseling. But, you know, with that gift, you actually heal people with the words that you know, that you use. And it's sometimes you may not see it right away. But, you know, later on in life, these people might come back to you, or friends of those people might say, you know, I'm friends with so-and-so and you really helped them out. And I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for them. in appreciation of what you've done or blah, blah, blah. But if you don't have this as a job, it's something that you might want to look into.
That is really good.
Okay.
That's really good insight.
Okay, and I want to say, too, that fairies, they love you. Okay?
I'm a little person.
They love you. I see them whispering in your ears. I see butterflies constantly and dragonflies around you. But to me, they look like that, but I see them as fairies. And there's a situation that you're presently in, and the situation is calling for you to have faith. And
okay,
you know,
I have faith, but it's definitely being tested.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be tested, and this is one of those things where. This is the image that they're giving me, and it's like I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm standing here, and I have my husband in front of me, and my husband is hugging me, but there's another person behind me, and he's talking to the person behind me, and I'm not sure about that situation because I don't have eyes in the back of my head. But I have to have trust. I have to have faith that because of the bond that I've made with this person, that it's going to work out for the highest good.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, to a degree it does. There's a situation going on, yeah.
Okay. But I'm just kind of trying to be vague about it, but I'm trying to give you the meat and potatoes of it. But know that the angels are working in the background, and they're not just regular angel, they're cherubs that are working in the background. So they're the chubby little angels.
Okay. I'm glad I have chubby little angels helping me because I need help.
They're the chubby little angels. They're the ones that look very childlike, but they're not childlike at all. They're the ones that, like Cupid.
Yes.
Cupid is like, and they also, they have, you know, there's a picture that actually is it's a portrait of Raphael, who's actually depicted as a cherub, but he's not a cherub at all, but he's actually shown as that. So know that these cherubs are around you. I would do some research on the cherubs just to find a little bit more information about it. I don't have specific names, but I want to say that there's a lot of R ones around you. And I don't want to say Raphael. I want to say like Robert and I keep getting like Romeo, you know, a lot of love stuff.
Cool.
Okay.
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Thank you. That's good.
And that this situation is healing. Your stuff also involves a lot of being out in the environment and really putting your feet into the ground. I don't feel the ocean with you or anything like that, but I do feel being out in nature. I do feel the grass being beneath your feet. I feel, fields of green, like green grass being very important to you. The color green is very important to you. I feel also that people with ginger hair, that's what they call them, is very important to you as well.
Yep, you are very correct.
I would say that's about as dead on as you can get.
Boy, she did really, really well, Barbara, didn't she? Wow, you're good. You are really good. Thank you,
Barbara.
Ma'am.
I expect my check later. No.
Okay.
All right, thanks, ladies. Everybody can go to work now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, honey.
This is what she gets instead of money.
She's full of piss and vinegar. So I'm not surprised that she has a lot of elemental energy around her.
No, I'm not either. And you know, she's been a friend of mine for like 25 years. And when I started the show, she came on as my co-host almost immediately. And she has for the last 5 years, you know, been here almost every show. And she does yeoman's work. And she has screened people. She has, you know, and when I asked her to do it, she said, I didn't think I don't know if I can do that. And I, oh, yeah, if I can figure it out, you can figure it out. And she has been just awesome. So she gets the first reading with new people, and that way, you know, it's really important when you're screening people and they're asking questions about whoever is doing the readings for her to be able to say, I've had a reading, and, you know how she felt about it too. So, you know, it helps her help other people having experienced that.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, I'd like to see her, you know, do something with her gifts as well. I mean, I don't know what she does, but I'd like to see her. I don't know. I just feel like she should be doing some stuff as well.
Well, she does Reiki, and she does it on horses. She rides horses.
Okay.
And she has a granddaughter with ginger hair. And if that's not a cherub, I don't know what is. And she takes awesome photography. She captures the spirit of animals. She works with dogs, and she works with horses, and she is awesome.
And that's why she's out in nature a lot. Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah, no, you nailed her. You did real good. We've got a real full queue here, so I'm going to plow into it if that's okay with you.
Sounds like a plan.
Okie dokie. We've got somebody whose name I am going to butcher completely. Okay, Ididar, is that it?
Ibitar.
Oh, Ididar.
Ibitar.
Okay, gotcha. How can we help tonight?
Oh, hello to the both of you, and I would like to see what Spirit has to say to me as well.
Okay, let me see what I've got here. It feels to me as though you're pulling body, mind, spirit together. It feels as though you've been a little fragmented over the past, but it feels as though you're pulling things together and you're weaving things together, and there are past lifetimes here where you have been a weaver, where you have taken colored threads, where you've taken threads of friendship, where you've taken the threads of nations and woven them together in past lives, so that what you're doing now is creating a new fabric of energy to sort of, embrace you. It feels as though it's a time in which laughter, joy, and celebration is going to be very rich for you. And as we get into the fall time frame, I feel great expansion of insight and intuitive abilities. And it feels as though there are things opening up. There are new things coming into your reality and your perception is changing dramatically. It's how you perceive things that you know, really determine your attitude, and it looks as though you're turning over a leaf. You're coming into new energy, new expansion, new directions, and between now and Christmas, it feels like you're going to be extraordinarily busy. And there's a sense here of finding a new continuity of energy. And by the time you hit December, there's an inner restlessness. You're moving forward into new areas, new dimensions, and as you hit into the first of the year. Here's where I see you expanding yourself intellectually. I see you moving into learning new things, new aspects, stretching yourself, challenging yourself to a greater extent than you have in the past, creating a new foundation and new direction for you to birth a new aspect of yourself, to manifest into reality, so that as you hit springtime next year, you are evolving and you are coming into bloom in new ways that you can't even foresee at this moment in time. Anne, what are you getting?
I have to agree with you. I do see some school happening, some higher level of whether it's, I kind of feel like it's mathematics that's going to happen, and I feel that you're working with a female angel that is with you. This female angel, you will recognize her by, she has the number 7 that comes along with her. That's all I'm getting from her. She also has this beautiful orange color about her, not completely around her, but around the top of her head. There is also an engagement as well coming to you, whether that is a commitment that you're making or a deeper level of commitment in a relationship, or that is a deeper level of commitment to those studies or to a job that you are, or a business that you are presently in. And, you know, as far as time frames are concerned, I want to say that I keep seeing the fall of next year, because I keep seeing the autumn colors, you know, orange being a very, you know, prominent color. And I don't know if that is because, you know, autumn is orange, or if it's actually a chakra color. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's what I'm getting.
Makes sense to me, because orange is also the color of birthing and rebirthing.
Oh, okay.
And there was that sense of rebirthing a part of herself.
Okay.
Oh, such a beautiful reading. I wanted to ask the question about the angel. Is this an angel that's around me in the physical or non-physical?
Well, depends on how you see things, sweetheart, because I see everything in the physical.
Okay.
You know, this angel is around you right now at this moment.
Okay.
And this angel, the energy that I see her coming across as is like a teacher. So this can be a very real person to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that this person comes across as this energy, but this is an angel.
Mm-hmm. Do you know her name?
No, I'm just getting the 7 stars.
Okay.
That's impressive.
Mm.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much. Thank both of you so much. Such a beautiful reading.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye
okay.
Now.
Okay, welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care.
It's so cool. I tell people and thank people all the time that this show and shows like this give people like Ann and I the opportunity to hone our gifts, hone our talents, and to reach deeper within ourselves. And so, you know, when beautiful stuff comes out of our mouths, you have to understand that it is triggered and generated from the person that we're reading. And it's you know, we truly do thank you for giving us the opportunity to touch into your energy and use it to share the beauty that everybody carries within themselves.
Well said. Well said.
I mean, you know, it's not that we don't have pretty stuff too, but I mean,
we
don't
say pretty things.
Yeah, we say pretty things too, but it's such an honor to be able to touch other people's energy and experience the wisdom and the warmth and the love and the beauty that they carry within. And you know, this is the coolest place in the world as far as I'm concerned. Gonna pull Catherine from Florida in here. Hi, Catherine, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm so fantastic. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. I am
good.
Hi, amazing.
Catherine. Hi. This has been fun listening. This, you know, I'm going to be listening. So when we get done, just mute me again, Barbara, because I want to listen. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Happy to mute you. Do you have a question?
I do. I would love to know if anybody's picking up anything for Love and Romance, unless there's anything else that you're picking up, and then just go ahead and throw that at me.
Love and Romance. Of course, you know the first relationship you have to have, right?
Is with myself.
Yes. And it feels as though you are at a place in time where you are really, 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 I mean, I have to tell you, you have done the most profound amount of work on yourself. I'm very, very impressed. I am very impressed at the way that you have been truthful with yourself and made the changes that you've made. And you know, it's kind of neat because, who is it that talks about taking a bitch pill? I don't know who it is. Is that you, Anne?
No, but I do every day.
I forget who used that term, and it's not mine. But it feels like you really are being honest with yourself finally, and I would say that the energy that is emanating from you at this point in time is a lot clearer, a lot stronger, and a lot more precise than it ever has been before. And karmically speaking, I think you're drawing to yourself some people that you have been with in past lives that have really wonderful aspects themselves. So that it's really it feels like you're getting tired of waiting. And you're wondering if something is ever going to evolve. I mean, are you currently in a relationship?
No, and it has been 5 years.
Okay, that's a goodly amount of time. But you needed the work done,
stuff has happened in the last 5 years where I needed. I'm much better served not with being somebody. So it hasn't been a negative.
No, and I think there have been changes that have happened in your life that had you been in a relationship, the relationship might have determined the things you did instead of you determining them what was best for you. So I would say that there is one coming. I think if it's coming too slowly for you, all I can really say to you is that the most important thing for you to do is to get creative and to open up those channels of creativity so spiritual energy can flow through and manifest within your reality and move your life ahead. And the more forward motion you have in your life of a creative nature, of getting on with your life, of following your passions, of having fun, of celebrating, the more you put into your life, the more that you draw these people to you. And I'm seeing a couple, so it's going to be a very interesting time after the first of the year. So, Anne, what are you getting?
I'm seeing I'm actually seeing a lot of travel for you, that there's going to be a lot of travel, and I feel like it has to do with pleasure as well as work. You know, the things that she actually enjoys doing, it's something that she's chosen to do, whether it's the work on herself, but also, you know, for work in general. That there are going to be relationships that come up, but because of her past issues that she has, they're coming up. These relationships are coming to her as tests, and she is to recognize the red flags so that she doesn't step into those relationships again. It's kind of like to see if you've learned the lessons.
That was my last and I succeeded beautifully by not getting into it, you know.
Okay, so, you know, these are things that are actually coming at you. Your next time that you are actually coming into your next relationship is going to be a time for you to be with the person that you're with, but you're going to try to take this person and bring them away from the world, not bring them out to everyone and have everyone enjoy them. No, you're going to enjoy them first. And then share them with the rest of the world instead of doing it vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying? Like some people say, oh, this is my new boyfriend, and you kind of share them first before
right.
you
yeah.
get to enjoy them. You're going to do that. You're going to do the opposite. You're actually going to really get to know this person and then bring them out to get to meet everybody after
okay.
the fact. Because you've kind of done it the reverse before. And this is all new to you. And this is going to take time. And this next person that you're going to be bringing in, not saying this is the permanent person, but, you know, I usually when I start getting where I can't, I want to start choking, is because you have a hard time speaking up. You need to speak your truth and stand your ground no matter what is going on in the relationship. If you don't like it, speak up. Just because you haven't been in a relationship in a while and you feel like, you know, okay, I don't like this, but I'm scared to jeopardize it, so I'm going to be quiet. Don't do that, please.
Okay.
Speak up and speak your truth. And I know you have a very, like, warrior energy. So, you know, but you're a mush inside because you're very much like we are. And you know, we could recognize ourselves in other people. So, please, when this situation comes up, speak your truth. And in speaking your truth, you won't have a problem because this person will be like, oh, I completely understand and I respect you for saying something. And you'll be pleasantly surprised by it.
Good.
All right. But
yeah.
this travel, the travel that you're going to be going through is actually going to give you a lot of pleasure, and you're actually going to learn a lot from it as well.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I am kind of hoping that this would be someone from my very distant past coming back into my life. Anybody picking up a vibe for that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What I'm seeing is a very new person, and I'm seeing that your karmic stuff has been tied up by the time you get into a new relationship, so that it's somebody very, very new.
Okay.
And what are you getting? I mean, I you know, that's just what I'm getting.
This person's just very comfortable looking. You know, he has jeans on, short hair, very tall, very thin, enjoys lounging on the couch, always has a computer on his lap or a book in his lap, wears glasses, blue-green eyes, you know, very outdoorsy or can be very inside, very good with his hands, manicured hands. He's kind of like your average Joe, but he's very clean looking. Like he's a handyman, but he's very clean. You know, his hands are very clean, and his feet are very clean, which is very unusual. But he's just very comfortable looking. He reminds me of like the skinny guy in high school. You know, he's very pleasant to look at. Straight nose, thin lips. Thin face, probably plays basketball, plaid shirt, green sweater, you know, average Joe. I want to say he works on computers, that
You're
type
describing
of thing.
Exactly the person that I'm looking for, except for the tall.
Okay, well, this person's
yeah,
tall, but I'm not even 5 feet tall, so I, you know.
But
wait, it's really important that you not look for this person, but let this person find you.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
I will make sure that I'm out there. I'll put a sign on. I'm right here with an arrow. Okay.
The buck stops here.
Yeah, there we go.
A long time ago, before I, you know, grew up, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. I had T-shirts made, and on it said single and available, looking for partner, codependents need not apply. And I had my telephone number on it. And you know something? I got telephone calls.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
I don't recommend you do that. It wasn't smart. I mean, you know, but you know, after a while you get, you know, you get bored with, you know, taking everybody's advice and going on forward with your life and having a lovely time and all of that crap. So I just had the T-shirt printed up and I, you know, wore it to some of my son's Little League games. Not a smart idea, I might add. And it was kind of fun. I think he took it and used it to polish his car with it because he was so embarrassed by me. But I had fun. But no, seriously, just don't go looking. Just allow it to find you, because if you allow it to find you, it'll be the right person. If you're out there looking and wondering if this person is him or if this person is him, then you're doing the choosing, the picking, and oftentimes we don't really know what's really spiritually most appropriate for us to be with, or who, not what, but who is most appropriate.
Right.
So okay. Don't go looking. Just let it happen, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I truly think
that is the question that I hear the most. I don't know about you, Anne, but that's the one thing that these days most people are, you know, they want to make sure that they attract to themselves the right person, not a person, but the right person, the one that, you know, is going to blend with their energy and be there for them for the rest of their lives and all of that kind of stuff. It's a hard thing.
It's not just about, you know, tall, dark, and handsome or knight in shining armor. It's a little bit deeper than that.
It really is, and with all of these people that call in, I don't think anybody has ever called into this show that I would say was not spiritually aware. And when you have that spiritual awareness and you have that understanding of spiritual links and spiritual everything, it means that the person that you're looking for, and you have to understand that just people can be spiritual without being obnoxious about it. And I know lots of people that being spiritual means you're walking the talk. It doesn't mean that they're out there on a street corner preaching it or in a meditation group or, you know, doing healing in hospitals. It means that they are living their life according to the golden rule, basically. And so there are many spiritual people out there that kind of would, you know, go to what we do, and yet they're doing the exactly same thing, but they're just not being as blatant as we are. So you understand that attracting a spiritual person to you doesn't mean that they're going to, you know who Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce is, but, you know, so long as they're living, as long as they're walking the talk, that's the important stuff. Okay.
This is true.
We've got Deanna in Florida. Hi, Deanna.
Hey, Barbara. Hi.
How are you?
I am happy.
Good.
Are you now?
I'm crazy. I'm happy and crazy. But
are you happy that you're crazy, or are you crazy that you're happy?
I'm crazy that I'm happy. I seem to botch everything up, and supposed to have been doing stuff for tomorrow, and I botched it all up. But I'm happy. I'm not happy about that. I'm just happy that I am not sad.
You're happy that you're not sad. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm glad you got my email about your relative.
Douglas DeLong. Yes, it was really cool calling up this man who runs a mystery school, and, you know, I'm sure he thought I was a potential client, and I said, you know, I'm not calling up for a reading or anything, but I am calling up because my name is Barbara DeLong, and we started to compare notes, and indeed we are very distant cousins, and
really,
you know, yeah, we come from the same group of people that came over at I don't know, 1500 and something. And
oh my goodness.
But anyhow, he's got a mystery school that he's had up there for a good 10 years, and our philosophies seem to gel. So he's going to do a nightlight matrix with me, and you know, if everything goes well, we'll do it on a regular basis so that he can, you know, get his stuff out there too. It'll be cool.
I am really happy. Yeah.
So how can we help you tonight? How can we help you to be happier?
Tell me what you see, tell me what you hear, tell me what angels or mega angels are around that are gonna help me tonight, stay up all night to put the stuff together and not fail miserably.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, you're not going to fail miserably. You're not capable of that. I think
oh, yes.
I think something that Anne said, you know, just a short time ago really does apply here. You're at a time where you're getting a lot of reminders of all of the things that you've learned are being thrown at you. And, you know, so you may find yourself playing catch up here and there, but it's only for short term. And you know, by the time October hits here, I see you really moving in new directions and having a really good flow of energy in your life and being able to exhale tremendously. Because you've been holding your breath for a very long time.
There's a sense here of
universal love just absolutely surrounding you, embracing you, and saying, you know, take a break, it's okay. So I'm feeling that there is a sense of freedom here, and not because you're fired, but because you've passed an incredible test and you've passed through what I would call an initiation of sorts. And that it's time to sort of put your feet up a little bit and see. I'm seeing the symbol I'm getting, and lots of times we get symbols that explain what we should be saying. And I'm seeing me with putting my feet up and having a Diet Coke in my hand. So yeah, everybody does it differently. But I'm seeing also a big fire in a fireplace. I'm seeing you relaxing and just being able to sit and listen to beautiful music and watch the flames for a while. So, and it's not flames because you're burning something. It's flames because you're relaxing and you're being warmed by the comfort of the spirit around you. Anne, what are you getting?
I'm getting that you're super sensitive at this time. And that you're becoming more and more sensitive, and that's why it seems like your world is imploding, and it seems like things are like this. You've painted yourself into a corner, but it's really not so, that you haven't done that. I'm also seeing, and they're showing me a wedding. I don't know if it's a wedding or is it some type of a party. Is it or a commitment or, no, it's a wedding. Is it a wedding that's happening?
I don't know yet.
I
don't know whose.
Well, there's something about a marriage that's happening.
I really should wed my ideas to my actions. That's what I should do.
Okay, because they're showing me a very gentle woman. And they're showing me a very stern man. So I'm just going to give that to you, and you do what you need to do with that. But I'm going to go back to the sensitivity, because what they're showing me is a very beautiful woman who is standing there. And how she's standing there, she's kind of, she's walked this path of being an empath and actually taking on all these things. And as she's looking back over the path, she's shedding the things that she's taken on. And no longer is she willing to take on the things that she once took on. And so these things are slowly but surely falling and rolling off her back. And then she's transforming from this duck into this beautiful swan.
Thanks for that. That's a beautiful thing to say. Your picture is beautiful as well. And I got this crazy Gemini moon that sort of, you know, fragments me everywhere. And then I get distracted. So going to ask that anybody and everybody who wants to send me some Reiki tonight.
Sure.
We can do that. That's no problem at all.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. And I do appreciate all of you and everybody in the chat. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Diane, you want to just tell people where you're at again? I know you're in Florida, but you want to just give them a town so that we can...
I am in
Miami,
12 blocks from the ocean.
Oh.
And in a fourth floor...
Yeah, I'd say you love to be, but...
And I'm eager to try to, you know, do what I have to do tonight and stay up and do the best I can to face tomorrow with a smile.
Well, you know, I think absolutely you're going to be just fine. And after this show is over, go over to Curious Times and listen to that for 2 hours because I'm going to trot over there and do more readings over there. So,
okay.
Keep me company.
If that's all right with Chris. If that's all right with Chris. Yeah.
I don't think Chris will mind at all.
Okay, well, she'll let me know. She'll let me know in the chat room here. But thank you to both of you. You're both beautiful, beautiful voices, everyone. Beautiful ideas behind the voices. And I'll come back for pizza.
Okay. Take care.
All right, you take care, honey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
She is the most amazing lady. I can't remember. She's been calling the show for a very long time, and every now and then she writes poetry, which is just mind-bogglingly beautiful. And she's a neat, neat lady. I'm truly blessed with the people that call into my show. I really have such a wonderful time with them. And you know, it's such a blessing. I don't think they understand how much they are appreciated, because they certainly are. And I love the chat rooms, because every now and then I look over there and I realize that they have a life of their own. I don't think they're even listening to the show sometimes. There have been a number of times that they've been talking about food and I suddenly found my stomach growling and thinking, oh, swell.
Chris complains about that all the time.
Stop talking about food. I'm starving.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, it's sort of like, I don't know where they were going with it, but, you know, here I was doing, you know, very sensitive readings with people, and they were talking about what they were eating and chocolate and all sorts of stuff, and it was like, okay, this goes well. This, you know, it's chat rooms have lives of their own, I have found, and they are just amazing.
I try not to pay attention to the chat room when I'm doing reading because it just totally throws me off.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, we've got Christina in California. Hi, Christina. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm doing wonderful. Really love the chemistry between the callers and all of you lovely ladies. And the question I had is, just a simple question. I've been doing a lot of inner work and really facing myself and being aware that I've been in denial for quite some time and working through my issues. And I wanted to know if the angels have a message for me on how I'm doing on my journey.
I'll let you go first, Anne.
Okay. Give me a second. You finally understand that it's time for you to bring the healing light and love to the world. And, you know, you say that you've been in the river of denial and you finally crossed it to find the truth. There are many meanings that we try to bring across to the human race, and in doing so our messages get twisted. The meanings that come out are not what we intend, but what we want to tell you is that the things that you have here on this earth plane, you can't take with you. And this refers to your material wealth, the things that you have acquired throughout your lifetime. But what you can take with you is the gifts that you've worked through, your lessons, your connection with spirit. The angels know that those are the only lasting gifts that you will carry into your next journey as you move on from this lifetime. And in doing so, it is not only the next mission that you go on. You know, you don't have to die in order to go into the next stage of your life. And they want you to understand that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm relieved. Thank you for saying that, because I've been worried.
And it's really important that it's, and you know, I love this song, but I keep hearing it when I'm speaking to you, that it's not about the money.
That makes me feel good, because I don't have any.
Okay.
But it's a validation, because I really do feel that it is about what you learn here. And
right.
Before, I felt like, you know, I was looking outwardly about the material rather than what really is the truth and what really is important for each of our souls. And I was missing the point as I was swimming in the river of denial.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate you sharing that with me, because I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is a very serious time for you. And what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, is that the element of laughter is so important for lightening the spirit, for lightening the heart, for allowing the light, L-I-G-H-T, to come in and sort of allow your soul, your spirit, to celebrate the lessons that have been gathered, because every lesson, every difficulty, every barrier that has come into your way has been put there because there was a special singular grain of laughter, light, and truth within it that you were meant to gather. And as soon as you found that seed of truth, you were able, you know, you're released from the difficulty and able to move forward. And sometimes you get so serious in analyzing, you forget that it's not an intellectual process, evolution. It's a spiritual process. So that it isn't something that you think your way through. It's something that you allow to bring you into another dimension and another aspect of consciousness and another perception of vision within this lifetime. So that you're at a time where it feels as though you're just getting ready to move into a new delightful cosmic dance. And the element of money, of monetary anything, is always supplied to those who are genuinely have the proper intent as far as where they are taking their life and how they are walking their talk. So that if any of us on the spiritual pathway were really, really rich, we'd probably sit down and forget about the pathway and just enjoy the chocolate by the fire. But because we're not, because we struggle just like everybody else, our perception of the journey helps other people who haven't got the same perception to be enlightened by it, so that you have the obligation to keep on trucking, because you're doing a beautiful job. And you just have to remember that it's the light within you that is going to help other people come out of the darkness. And the more you radiate that light, the greater help you are to humanity.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I'm trying not to cry. That was really heartfelt. Thank you so much. ladies.
You're so welcome.
I really appreciate it.
And the archives are there, so you can download it and play it back to yourself anytime you need it.
Oh, I will. I'm blown away.
You can also call back into the show. We'd love to hear back from you.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
You're
I just love
so
you guys
welcome.
To pieces. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care now.
Many blessings.
To you too. Boy, I've been there. Have you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think one of the things that is so rewarding about doing this is that everybody struggles, and it's how we deal with that struggle that, you know, determines where we go. But it's cool to be able to listen to people who are in that place and be able to say to them, yeah, I hear you. I've been there, and we do survive, and we do move on, and we do actually find new celebration within life. So sometimes it's a difficult place to be because we really don't see, you know, beyond our nose. But trust me, there is direction there, and it's an amazing time to come through, especially. And you know, the song that keeps coming through my mind is "I Made It Through the Rain" by Barry Manilow. That just resonates to Christina and what she's going through. So if she's still listening, you know, check that song out because it really feels like you. We've got Laura in Texas. Hi, Laura. How are you doing tonight? Hello, Laura.
Laura.
Thank you. So sorry. I was listening to all of your inspirational guidance and had you on speaker. It's just relaxing. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really, truly appreciate it. Y'all and all the callers have all been so inspiring.
And what can we do for you?
Well, basically, I have a lawsuit coming up against a nurse practitioner that prescribed me some medications that caused a severe emotional and mental imbalance. It's hard for me to say, but it could have caused me to commit suicide. But I got to the hospital in time. And I wanted to know, number one, how, because I didn't want the lawsuit to happen. It was something that, you know, I'm more spiritual, and I really wanted, I guess, to talk to her about it and everything. And my parents were the ones that are the driving force behind the lawsuit. I wanted to know, I'm real emotional about it, and I wanted to know how it's going to turn out, and then do you see me working soon, and if so, in what field, because the doctors were really concerned about what the medications did to me long term.
I do see you working. I'm not sure it's soon, but I do see you working. I do feel that it was important for you to change your line of work, change your direction, and this was one way the universe had of doing just that. It's not so gentle when it does stuff like this, but it does it for a reason. I have to tell you that I think that you were supposed to change the direction of your career and you didn't. And you knew that you should, but you didn't. And that this is the universe's way of not too gently saying to you, now will you listen? It's time you go another direction. What did you do for a career?
Well, I did high-end cabinetry design.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for a number of years, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to like go back into interior design or into architecture or engineering. You know, I took an AutoCAD course recently just to prove to myself that I could, you know, really think again, and also had been seeing a healer who I feel has helped me tremendously to be able to concentrate and focus again and to be able to be real positive.
Okay.
You know, positive,
I just
more than what I was.
I have to, first of all, ask your forgiveness for what I'm about to say.
Because
I often get weird things, and unfortunately you've triggered something unusually weird, but so very cool. I feel strangely that the element of design is really important for you, and I think that you have talent and gifts, and you're amazing. However, I don't feel you in any corporate structure. What I see you designing are fairy houses and hobbit houses and all sorts of magical fairy houses and things like that. That you know, children have doll houses, but they don't play with them anymore. But I haven't seen any fairy houses out there at all, or hobbit houses, or anything like that. I see you designing them and having them made and sold. I'm seeing you having a magical imagination, and this is an amazing opportunity for you to set this reality aside and move into another reality where the magic inside of you can be manifest and can help you to heal.
Okay.
And I know it sounds really weird, and there's a part of you that's saying, how could I possibly make a living at this? But I really believe that you don't belong in any corporate structure anymore. And this is the universe's way of moving you out of a corporate structure into a different venue, an arena.
Right.
And you know, for right now, for this moment in time, I don't see you working. I don't see you being able to handle the stress that would be involved in a full-time job. But
well, then
you
see me moving back. What? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Do I see you moving back where?
Oh, I was going to say, my parents said basically if I don't get a job soon that I would have to move back in with them. I can't do that. They're too difficult to live with. They're not spiritual like I am.
Well, you know, you can be spiritual around just about anybody. There were people in concentration camps that managed spirituality in that atmosphere. And sometimes parents are an amazing challenge to just how dedicated we are to where we want to go. If you do have to move back with them, it only is saying that there are some loose ends you need to tie up here. And I'm not saying you have to make peace and bow down. I'm saying that there are loose ends that needed to be tied up. I don't see, if you do move back with your parents, I don't see it long term. And as far as the lawsuit goes, when did it start?
Well, I have a contract that I'm supposed to sign and was supposed to get back to the lawyer today, and I just looking at it and just wondering, because it's my name on it, but my parents are forcing me to do it because they feel like they're out a lot of money because of her, and I do understand that fact. You know, I guess I felt like we should have sat down and talked to her to see if there was a way to work things out versus going away the way they were going through things.
Well, actually, probably not. And that this is what she has malpractice insurance for.
Okay.
So she's not going to be out the money. I wouldn't worry about that. And what are you getting?
You know, it's kind of like when a store loses stuff to theft. It's not an employee doesn't take that personally because it's not their stuff. It's the company stuff. So, you know, this is not a personal loss for her. She has something put in place that'll actually cover her for this. You know, all businesses have this type of thing. Do they want this to happen to them? Of course they don't, but unfortunately things like this happen, and that's why they have this type of insurance put into place. I'm feeling like this is not the only medication that you took, that there was another medication, and maybe there's a mixture of medications, or there's something other that was in your system as well, or something
There were two medications.
Okay.
There was one that was
You don't have to explain, sweetie. I'm just telling you what I get so that you know that I'm tuning into you. What I'm getting too is that I feel like you're going to have to kind of bite the bullet and maybe live with your family for a hot minute as well. But this is actually going to help you get stronger again so that you can recoup what you need to get to move back out on your own. I'm feeling that you have the heart of an artist, even though that you were at one time in the corporate world. And, you know, whether your artistic ability was doing that, you know, the whatever you call it, the building of things. Yeah, those the graphic designs. I feel, you know, what I'm seeing is like a poly parrot, like one of those beautiful blue birds. A macaw, and I feel like that's actually a totem for you, and everything that goes with that beautiful bird, that exotic bird, the surroundings of that exotic bird fit you, and that type of lifestyle that bird lives is the type of lifestyle that you should live, and you flourish and you actually blossom in that lifestyle. So for your career, I would totally go with what Barbara's saying and put forth your effort and your artistic abilities into making, whether these houses are children's houses or gazebos or landscape projects that you're making for people that are very artistically done, but more out of fantasy and art, you know, like something that's more creative, that's not just, you know, it's something that's very square and cookie cutter that everybody else has. And they're also showing me a musical ability that you have. They want you to practice that musical ability. They're not showing me what it is. They're just showing me the vibration of it. And they said that you need to get back to that. That's actually what's going to help heal you, because the vibration is actually going to raise the. And they're showing me that it is a darkness that's in your body, out of your body. Is that making sense?
There is a darkness in my body?
That's what they're showing me. The medicine is that they're showing me as a darkness.
Okay. Is the musical ability, is that the chanting that I've recently been taught by a healer?
Okay, it could very well be. They're just showing me that it's a musical thing. They're showing me it as a vibrational thing.
Yeah, it is vibrational, and it's supposed to bring more light in.
Okay, but they're showing it, you know, it's funny because I just watched Tina Turner's Life Story. And she was very abused, as you know, by Ike Turner. And her sister changed her life around by turning to becoming a Buddhist, and she started chanting, and she kind of turned her sister on to chanting as well, and which turned Tina Turner's life around as well, all these turns. And so it's interesting that this is coming up for you. So
right.
There's a message in it for other people as well. So that, so I just, maybe you should watch that movie. Maybe that should bring some clarity to you, because that's what the chanting and the vibration actually does, is bring clarity for things that you're not seeing. It actually clarifies things so you can rise above the chaos and the noise to really see the direction that you need to go in.
Okay.
I would also, I would look into tuning forks and singing bowls as well. And the other thing that I got was labyrinths, designing labyrinths, walking labyrinths for people. And
okay.
You'd be fabulous at that. Have you ever walked a labyrinth?
No, I haven't, but as a child I was interested in them. Because of my grandmother, that's interesting.
What's the one with David Bowie? That movie with David Bowie,
right?
Oh, geez, yeah. there are lots of walking labyrinths all over the country, and it's not hard to create one. It's a matter of you walk into the center, and it's a journey you're taking in the physical. That is being mirrored by the spirit, so that you're going into your core, into the center, into the whole, into the very core of your being, and then you turn around and then you walk it back, so that you're coming out of the center with a greater sense of wholeness, of peace, of prosperity, of love, of joy, of celebration. So it's a magical thing, and anybody can design a walking labyrinth. It's a journey, and it's a journey you go into the center and then come back from the center. And they're in churches, they're in meditation gardens, they're all over the place. And I would imagine if you Googled meditation, you know, walking meditations in Texas, you'd find one that is probably pretty local to you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Gosh, I really appreciate all of your help and guidance. And
you sound better already.
Yeah, you know something. Focus on healing and getting better. And when people are involved in a lawsuit, they are more focused on what is wrong instead of what is right. So
right.
it's time to focus on what's right in your life, and you have talent and skill. You are artistic as hell, and you have magic inside of you, and you're at a point where it's just about to come out. The universe wanted you to change, to move, and you didn't, so it arranged it for you. When the universe wanted to change what I was doing, it arranged a four-car collision, and I was shifted real fast, so those 2x4s can really be painful. But, you know, you're not going to write this lady a thank you note, but she did you a favor. I'm really, you know, it sounds terrible now, but 5 years from now, you're going to look back and you're going to think, wow, she really did do me a favor.
Right. I've already forgiven her, because I know she didn't mean to do it. It's just...
It does. and you know what? She's got malpractice insurance, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Well, thank you so much. God bless you all.
And you too.
Else well.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I know there is that feeling when you're involved in a lawsuit that you don't want to do any harm and you want to be real. And when you look around and you think, well, that's what people pay for insurance for, so that, you know, the medical bills can be covered and I can get whole again and get on with my life.
Very true.
It's okay. We've got Kara in Colorado. Hi, Kara. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well.
Kara, you
good.
Got like an echoing going on.
Sorry,
in the background.
Hold on
it's
one
like...
second. Okay. Can you hear me now better?
Yeah.
I thought you were in the Rocky Mountains because it was like, hello, hello, hello.
Sorry. We have like two or three phones on speakerphone listening to you guys.
That's okay. What's going on?
I just have a couple questions. Basically, where I stand in the job I apply for and if a job is going to come soon to me and where I stand in my love life and life in general altogether.
That's a lot of standing, honey.
I am.
Where do you want to stand?
I want to be happy, I guess.
Okay,
in life.
Well. And how does that happen?
I guess I need to be directed in the right way, I guess. I need to know which way I need to go right now.
Well, wait a minute. You certainly know what makes you happy, right?
Absolutely.
Go that way.
Okay.
I mean, this doesn't take a psychic for this one.
This is a mom question. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if we follow our hearts and our spirits, then we'll have joy in our life forever. If we follow our heads, then we may have a lot of money, but we can be miserable. And you know, frankly, the fun one is much more fun.
Right.
And to be honest with you, you never want for anything. If you are following your joy, if you are following your passions, if you are celebrating the light inside of you and helping other people and being creative along the way, you've got everything in the world you could possibly ask for. And you know, I mean, a job is, you know, unfortunately we need them because we really, you know, clothing and food and a roof over our heads are kind of important. But the reality here is we don't need, you know, as much as we gather, we become hoarders. We become collectors of stuff. And I'm as guilty as everybody else is because I look around here and I look at all my stuff and I think of what could I not live without? And, of course, I'd have to scoop up scoop up eight cats. And, you know, if I had my cats and if I had a roof over my head and a lot of litter, I'd be really happy. And I think you're at that place. How old are you?
27?
Oh, you're a baby, for heaven's sakes. You know, you got another 3 years before you have to grow up a little bit. So
right.
Spend the next 3 years discovering what your passions are and follow them. Don't let economic stuff get in your way. I think you're going to have to go back to school, by the way. But other than that, I just
Can
think
you dir-
that the... Go ahead.
Can you direct me in which way I need to go back to school? Because I can't figure that out.
I see justice for you. I see working with, like, fairness and protecting people. You know, I see you always going for the underdog, always, you know, defending people. So I think that, you know, I'd say social work for you. But I don't think social worker is something that's going to pay you a lot of money. So I'm going to say you got a big mouth, and when it's not being used for yourself, you're a pit bull. So be a lawyer. You know, go for the gold. Go, you can do it if you put the time and energy, and you have the friends around you and family members who will support you. Do it. You can get the financial aid or the grants that you need to be a lawyer, and you'd be good at it.
Can you tell me, like, where I stand, I guess, in the love life that I have going? Do I need to move on for my sake?
No.
And my sake?
You know
you
what?
To... Go ahead.
You have a gut feeling, right?
Yes, I do.
You follow your gut. Do what your gut tells you, because at 27, that's the major area you want to talk to. I mean, you can analyze the wazoo out of this. You can you know, dig until you have bloody hands trying to get to the bottom, the core of understanding anything. But the bottom line is, it's what your gut feels. And if you feel that this is, you know, where you want to be for right now, then that's absolutely where you should be. But if you think at 27, I'm going to tell you if this is the right person for you, you're stark raving mad.
You're right. Like, I know that it's not where I belong, but as of right now, like, I know that's what it is, I guess.
Yeah. You know, you've got a lot of growing and a lot of learning and a lot of life to get under your belt before anybody's going to expect you to be terribly responsible. So have a good time.
Thank you. That's what I've needed to hear for a long time.
don't have too good a time. You know, stay legal, but have a good time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally get what you mean.
Okay.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you so much. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye. Enjoy, sweetie.
Thank you.
27. Can you remember that far back?
Yeah, I had my second kid around that time.
Yeah, I had a 5-year-old about then, but
wanted to shoot myself.
Well, you know, looking back, it was good to have them young, though. Really, I mean, when you stop and think
about
it. I mean, at 40 something, I can remember looking at my son and thinking, you know, this isn't going to be bad. I'm going to, you know, he's going to be out of college, and I'm still going to have some juices flowing here, so this could work. And it did. It worked beautifully. We've got Maddie in Georgia. Hi, Maddie. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Ann.
How you doing, sweetie?
I'm good, thank you. I've been enjoying the conversations. I have a question. What's going on with my daughter? Her name is Daphne.
Pretty name. How old is Bethany?
Daphne?
Daphne.
D-A-P-H-N-E. She's 43.
I'm trying to connect. I'm trying to connect. Does she have two children?
She has a son.
Okay. Does that son have a live-in girlfriend? Because I'm seeing two kids.
No, he's only 6.
Oh. Jeez, no. I'm seeing another person there, someone much younger than her, but much older than him.
No one but she and him that I know of.
Is she going through a healing process? Because I'm seeing her letting go of a lot of stuff.
She's going through some things with the son that he's been diagnosed ADDH, he can be very hard to deal with. And when she's upset with him, he get angry and he throws things. Then on the other hand, she takes it out on me. She has a frustration. She wants to give me hell about it. And I say, what am I supposed to do? I did not create the child. I did not cause him. If I would love to see him obedient and not the way that he is, but she wants to give me hell. And I say, what am I? I mean,
it's your fault because you're her mother. Of course it is. Don't you understand that?
No, I don't understand that because, no, I do not. It's like she wants to miserable love company. That's what I say.
No, she's just angry and there's nobody to take it out on other than you. And she's scared. She's very, very scared. Having a child like this is not easy. And it takes a great deal of patience, a great deal of love, and a great deal of forgiveness. Now, you have to understand that before she came into this lifetime, before he came into this lifetime, they both charted this lifetime. They must have things that they have to deal with, that they have to work out and work through between the two of them. And it's difficult. It's ambitious. It's not fun at all. And yet, this is something that they have chosen, and, you know, this is something that they need to work through. And if she starts to be abusive to you, you are able to hang up a telephone, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Then that's what you do. She doesn't have a right to take it out on you. It was her choice. So that you know, is she going to counseling of any sort?
No. No.
Well, there are all sorts of support groups out there for ADHD parents and stuff like that. And there are not only support groups, but there are workshops and there are places where you can take the kids to interact with other kids with the same problem. So there is there's a lot that she can do, but she has to take control of the situation. And you have to understand that this is something she needs to learn how to do. And you can't do it for her, and you can't tell her either. All you can do is back up, back off, hang the phone up when she's abusive, and hope that she figures it out for herself. She will eventually. Somebody will intervene, and somebody will point her in the right direction. But you can't take her anything. You can't tell her anything because you're her mother and you don't. No, you're her mother and you don't know anything.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't understand what it is. You know, as a mommy to a young child, we know everything. The older the child gets, the dumber we become. And my son was here with his two children, and he had to take his wife someplace, and he was packing the kids up. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm going to take the kids with me." And I said, "You know, I taught school for 25 years, and I successfully raised you. What makes you think I can't handle two children for an hour or two?" And, you know, he just looked at me like, "Do you think you can?" And I looked at him, and I said, "You're out of the will." And So I have written my son out of the will a number of times. He's an only child, you know, but he knows he's not going, you know, he knows that he is the will. But the reality here is you have to stand back and let her discover this for herself, or she won't discover anything. And
okay.
the more you try to tell her something, the more she will turn her back on it because you said it.
Thank you. That is so true. It's like that is so true.
So basically, when she says something that's intelligent, agree with her. And you know, let her rant, let her rave. If it's directed at you, hang the damn phone up. You don't deserve that.
That's very true. But I'm so damn sensitive. That's very true. But I'm very sensitive. I guess I have to toughen up, be a tough. Grow a tough skin.
Just maybe you have something to learn from this too.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. We do have lessons to learn. That's very true.
So that you know.
So he is, Kyle is attached to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you need to learn that you know, as a grandmother, you have to learn to step back and allow the parent to make their own mistakes. I mean, you know, let's face it, as parents, we did a good job on our own. We made our mistakes, but the children grew up in spite of us, not because of us, in spite of us.
That's very true.
So, and this child will grow up as well.
That's very true.
And your
That's
daughter just
true.
May grow, and your daughter just
will
may
not,
grow up as well.
I tell him all the time. He will not remain six forever. That's very true.
Yeah, and just think, at some point in time, he'll be a teenager. If she thinks he's got trouble now,
you really give her hell.
Absolutely, and you know what? She probably deserves it. So you know, because she probably did it to you. sit back and you sit back and eat the bonbons by the fire and get a good book and just read a book.
Enjoy
while
the
you,
show.
Anne, what are you getting? I mean,
I'm feeling like she has issues of her own, and you know, some of these behaviors is, I mean, I have ADD, and you know, I'm not this crazed person, and I think that people use that as a blanket to put on children that are a little bit hard to handle, instead mm-hmm. of taking the time to actually, you know, sit there and spend time with them, and actually discipline
right.
them in a because we need to be taught a different way than regular children. You know, most ADD children's minds work differently than the average child. A lot of us are dyslexic. A lot of us are not only visually dyslexic, but audio dyslexic. Some of us are directionally dyslexic. So there's a lot of factors in there. And I want to say that if he was diagnosed with this, it might be something a little stronger than this if she's having this stronger reaction to it. I get the feeling that there's alcohol involved with her.
No, she doesn't drink.
Okay, I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm getting. I don't know if it's her personally or if it's in her life. If it's the, you know, the boy's father, what the situation is, but that's what I'm getting, so I'm giving it to you. And
I have the father, but not my daughter.
Okay. Well, I'm just, as far as
the alcohol goes, yes. Okay.
Okay. I'm just putting that out there. And there are different ways to handle an ADD or ADHD child, and there are a lot of programs out there that are made to assist parents and teach them, as well as teachers, to help raise, discipline, and educate a child with these special needs. So all it takes is educating oneself.
Yes.
And when she comes at you with this information, all you have to do is say, look, with the amount of technology that's out there today, you know, you can take the time and look on the internet and find oodles of information that'll assist you to helping your son, instead of wasting the time yelling at me and I know nothing on how to assist you. All I can do is be a sounding board for you.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I would,
you know,
I would definitely do that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not talking about medications and stuff, because I think medications hinder children rather than help them, because eventually they got to get off the medication.
Yeah. And I told her when she took him to the psychiatrist, and I think that's the next step they want to put him on medication. I said, oh boy, he's really gonna be, because he gets angry and actually he fights her. He wants to have his way or no way.
Yeah, it sounds different from ADD. It sounds more like
it sounds more bipolar.
Yeah, they call
bipolar?
It okay. Like,
yeah, but we're not doctors, so understand.
Well,
that
I understand.
Me.
I understand.
Okay.
Yes.
Mhm. It sounds, you know, ADHD is more of a hyperactivity diagnosis. You know, a kid that's hyperactive or is unable to focus.
Well, that's
you're
him.
Saying that he
doesn't focus. He has that too. He doesn't focus. Like she tries the best to just do your homework. You got to do your homework. focus for 5 minutes, and after that, he wants to play.
Well, yes, but, I mean, homework is boring, you know? I mean, I could attest to that. But
yes.
if you make it fun, then, you know, there's a certain way that you have to teach a child with these special, you know, because they're special need children. They're just,
mm-hmm.
it's a certain way that you have to teach them. And this is one of the things that we always advocated for kids with ADHD or ADD. It's not that they can't learn. It's not that they're dumb, because 9 times out of 10 they're way above average than the normal kid.
I see that,
it's
like
just
16-year-old.
Right. It really is just focusing that energy to get
mm-hmm.
them to, you know, if they don't like it, they're bored with it. You know, they've already figured out what the situation is, and why am I going to waste my time there and do that when I can move on and do something that's constructive and that I'm going to enjoy? So you
yeah.
have to actually make the what they're doing fun. So if she incorporates something fun or have some type of reward behind it, he'll enjoy it more. And time is really, really important with kids with ADD and ADHD.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I taught special ed for 25 years. So, yes, it's you know, what Ann said. they think differently. They learn differently. And they are, for the most part, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's just a way of finding a way to channel that brilliance into productive productivity. And you can. And it just takes time and effort, and it takes parents going, you know, a mile or two beyond, and it does happen. But we have only a couple minutes left here, so I hope we helped you a little bit.
Yes, you have. Most definitely. I greatly appreciate it. I feel so much better.
Oh,
I was
good.
Going like, I want to cry.
No, don't cry. You can laugh about this one. but thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Ann.
You're welcome,
you.
Honey. You take care.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Okay.
That time went fast, Ann.
I know. I enjoyed myself, too.
Me too. I want to thank you so much. You were so much fun to work with. I'm going to try to talk you in to come back soon.
Absolutely.
And for those of you that are still out there and listening, go over to Curious Times. Chris's show is up next. I'm going to take my deck of cards and go on over there myself. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you, chat room. You were fabulous. And thank you, callers, for bringing some wonderful and inspiring information out for everybody here to share. And Anne, oh my God, you were fabulous. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, sweetie. You take care, and I will see you over there.
Fantastic. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.